you were a runner in Ketchikan. Did you always want to be a runner?
I don't know. It came really natural to me. And so I always gravitated towards sports and activities that had running in them. I can't remember a particular time that I was like, I want to be a professional runner. But I knew I was good at it. And you enjoy it more when you're good at something. And I think that kind of just snowballed into what it has become.
And I understand your brother was a runner as well. Your twins?
Yes. Yeah. My twin brother, Lucas, we're fraternal twins. We competed in across all sports and just in life as brothers do. All the way through high school, through college and post-collegially in Eugene. And he still lives in Eugene today.
Can you talk a little bit about your time running for the Kehi Kings, I believe? What was that experience like?
That was good. You know, I got coached by early on. It was Ron Adele and Mr. Ortez, Dan Ortez, and then Sue as well was in there. And they taught me a lot and really helped me, I guess, have a lot of growth in the sport, but they never really overworked me, which I come back to in a lot of these interviews on why I've been able to continue to grow in the sport in, you know, what is this, 10 or 11 years later. It was a lot of fun. Throughout college, I would go back and help the coaches, whoever was there at the time, and try to I don't want to say give back, but just kind of like hang out and, you know, be part of the team and help mentor anyone that really wanted to get to the next level. Because I think I didn't have that at all really throughout high school. Not that I was looking for it at a particular time, but it's nice. I think I would like to know that if someone wanted to pursue the sport in college, they would have someone to reach out to kind of help point them in the right direction.
And what did you study when you went to college?
I majored in marketing and management within the business realm. And then I kind of dabbled in a little bit of computer science.
And you are a professional runner now?
Yeah. I guess that's the term. Yes. I make the majority of my livelihood from running.
And I understand your area is the steeplechase. Can you explain what that is?
Sure. Yeah. The steeplechase is a track event. It's 3,000 meters. And so 7.5 laps, and 7 of those laps you'll jump over 4 really, really, like they look like big 4x4s. I guess everyone in Southeast knows what a 4x4 is. And then a fifth one that is in front of a pit of water that you then have to jump over. So it's a pretty unique track event.
And what attracted you to that event?
Well, my coach in college just kind of forced everyone to try the steeple because it's not something that you generally try in high school or even, I didn't even know of it until I got to college. I was pretty good at jumping over things just coming from Southeast Alaska and you know, messing around in the forest with the neighbors and playing kick the can and just doing soccer as well. So just a little bit of athleticism, I guess, growing up, and that helped the sport.
Talk a bit about your training. What is your training regime? I guess, how did it start out? And then what is it now? I imagine it's changed over the years.
Yeah, in terms of just like in high school or college to start out, or?
I'd say like starting with college, like, you know, when you first started out, and I'm guessing you tried a bunch of different events and then sort of, you know, honed in on something. And what is training like in college? Yeah. And then what is it like today?
Yeah, in college, it was definitely, like you're saying, trying to find the sweet spot, the niche, the spot that you really fit into in terms of which discipline, which distance in track. And yeah, I have done everything in college from the 400-meter intermediate hurdles all the way up to, I guess, just a track 5K. So 800, 15, steeple 5, flat 3K, the true mile as well. And volume and like weekly stuff kind of changed depending on the season, you know, the sport you were in, first of all, whether it was cross country or indoor or outdoor track, and then depending on how many races you had that season, stuff like that. And I guess in terms of weekly volume, we'll go off that. It started around 45 or 50 miles a week, I would say. And throughout the 5 years I was at college, it probably got up to 70, maybe mid 70s. And then fast forward to today, or this season, and I probably run 85 to 90 miles a week. So I've just continued, again, to grow and just add more to my running life on a daily basis.
Am I correct that you live in New York now?
Yes. Yep. I live just north of the city in Westchester County in a town called Dobbsbury. I'm not sure how long I'll be out here. I'm biased. I like the West better, the Northwest in particular. So I'll venture back that way eventually, whether through running or just personal reasons.
And do you run with a team?
I don't, not currently. So I was with Hoka out here, Hoka 1-1, through the end of March. But then we both, I guess, whether you want to say, couldn't come to an agreement or whatever, we just don't have a relationship anymore, or no more contracts. So right now I would consider myself a free agent or unsponsored, whichever term you want to use.
And what is Hoka?
Hoka is a shoe company based, I want to say that they're based out of California. They're pretty big in the trail industry, and they have since kind of shifted into more casual footwear and track footwear. But they're just a running shoe company.
Okay. And I understand you like to train in Arizona.
Yeah. So a lot of professional runners, and endurance athletes in general, it doesn't have to be running, it can be swimming or cycling. They like to go to altitude, somewhere that gives you physiological benefits. And basically you train with less oxygen up at 7,000 feet and your body will actually acclimate to that level. And so then when you race down at sea level, you are basically over 100% of what you would normally be at sea level for a couple of weeks. And then that acclimation decreases. I'll go up to Flagstaff. I've also been to Boulder, Colorado, once as well last year. So between those two places, I'll go there one or two times a year, really just in the winter and then in the spring / summer.
And I am not an athlete, but I can definitely tell the difference of living at sea level in Ketchikan and then traveling somewhere where you have altitude.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's hard even just to walk up the steps, even for me.
And I believe it was April 24th, you broke some records during the 3,000-meter steeplechase at the Oregon Relays in Eugene. Can you speak about that experience?
Yeah. So in terms of records, it's a weird – so in the running world, you have your world records and stuff like that, and this is considered a world lead. So it's the fastest time that anyone's ran this year, if that makes sense. So it's different than like a world record. It's still a record of sorts until if and when someone breaks it.
So that's for 2021.
Correct. Yep. Yeah. For this track season. Yeah. So no one, I guess, in the world at this point of the season has ran faster than that.
When does the season run from when to when? Is it a calendar year or it's?
It'll. Yeah. I guess technically for IAAF. Yeah. For that kind of world lead stuff, it would just be from January to December. But the people don't really race the steeple until, end of February, March, and then that'll go all the way through September with some Diamond Leagues over in Europe and stuff like that.
And I understand you broke a personal record.
Yes. Yeah. So I did. This was my first steeple in, I think, 18, 19 months. The pandemic, no one really raced at all last year. So this was my first race back. Excited to be at Eugene. Didn't really know what to expect coming in. And I ended up PRing by 7.5 seconds, which is a pretty good PR at this point in my career. I think that there's still more, just how I felt and the effort that was put out at the track meet. But yeah, it was a great race, and I'm really happy at how it went.
Right, and a PR being a personal record.
Yes, sorry.
Now what is ahead for you? And I mean, you're hardly elderly, but I know there's a lifespan, so to speak, of being in the running world. Where are you? At what point are you, I guess, in your career?
That's a great question. I wouldn't know an exact people my age are generally coming up on the end or towards the end of their careers, mainly because a lot of them have been running at a high caliber through high school, into college, through college, and into professional. I'm kind of a little bit of a different book because of that. I don't want to call it lack of running, because I did run, but that lack of intense running at a high caliber for an extended period of time. And so that excites me because I think that I can run further into my life the next couple of years more than someone at the same age typically would be able to. So I guess right now, all things considered, with running how I did a couple of weeks ago, I definitely, you know, go through this trials. And then there's actually the world track next year in Eugene as well. And then only 2 years after that is the next Olympics. And so that seems pretty practical to go through 2024 and then, you know, reevaluate life.
Is that your goal, to go to the Olympics?
Yeah, yeah, definitely. I would say that at this point, it's always been a goal, you know, this to some extent. But I'm also pretty realistic with my expectations. And I think that I don't want to say that I didn't think I would make it, but I, you know, you know, it just wasn't doubting, but I just am realist. But after this race, it definitely, the mind has shifted in terms of what is reality, and what is capable. So it's more, I would say it's more attainable at this point, in my eyes. I know everyone else that I've talked to, forever, especially in Southeast, you know, they've always supported me and told me that I could make it. And, I'm not going to tell them no. Right. But, I'm happy to finally be at that point that I can tell myself that as well now.
Okay, so what is your, are you going to ramp up your training or stay kind of, it sounds like you try to be a little bit conservative in your training so you don't wear yourself out, but what is your plan, I guess, now?
So in terms of training, you know, it's a lot of peaks and troughs. You know, you go through phases, I'll call them, of intense training and then backing it off, whether it be for races or, like you're saying, just to make sure you're not overdoing things. And right now I would say that I'm at the bottom of another peak. And so I'm starting to build again, in terms of intensity and volume. And that will probably carry through the next 3 to 4 weeks. And that'll put me about a month out. And from there, I might maintain for a week and then start to taper, and back the intensity and volume off leading into the trials. So that you can be fresh and, I guess poppy is the word that we would use, springy. You feel good.
You mentioned the trials. What are these specifically trials for, and what do they lead to?
Yeah. So the trials are the USA, I guess every year is a USA championship. And then every 4 years before the Olympic games is the Olympic trials that take place during the same time frame as the USA's on any other year that's non-Olympic. A little confusing. So the trials are to see who will make the Olympic team for the USA's, and all, I guess, specifics. I race on Monday the 21st and then Friday the 25th of June. To make the team, you will have to not only make it out of the trials, the prelims, the first race, into the finals, and then in that final race on Friday, you'll have to be top three when you cross the line and also have the Olympic standard time. But I got the Olympic trials time and the Olympic standard time 2 weeks ago. So I have both those boxes checked. And at this point, it's just training and trying to be getting out of the prelims into the finals and then getting top three in the final.
Okay. And then if you do that, would you be part of the Olympic team?
Yes. Yep. If I got top three in the finals, I'm going to the Olympics.
Excellent. All right. Mm-hmm. Well, I wish you well on that. Is there anything else you wanted to mention or?
Not off the top of my head.
No, that's fine. And I guess, do you have any advice for runners, I guess, of all abilities, whether they intend to be Olympic athletes or just recreational runners?
Yeah. I mean, running in the like purest form, right, is pretty soulful. And getting out the door every day and exercising is like at the core of it, right? What I think is part of a healthy lifestyle, and but more specifically for like, you don't always, yeah, the goals and the mindset doesn't always have to be at the Olympics, right? It doesn't have to be the top 1% of 1%. It's like, you can have a goal to, you know, maybe you want to train for the totem to totem half. And, you know, so you set a 12-week thing and you look up on Google and you find that and you keep yourself accountable for that 12 weeks and do little things every day that even if something is like, all right, I'll have an extra cup of water or I'll run an extra mile, things like that to just have fun with it and enjoy it. Like that's, I guess, what I always come back to even now. It's like, you just have to make sure you like it, what you're doing. You don't ever want to dread. You lacing up in the morning and taking the first couple of steps. All right. Yeah. That's hard that you dread that. Yes. But as a whole, running is a lot of fun and so just enjoy it and, see where it takes you and just, you know, keep doing it as long as you like it. That's kind of where I'm at right now in my head.
All right. Great. Do something you love.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Really.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for joining me.
Thank you. Yeah, I really appreciate it.